ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय स्या ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरमृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयरूपकतामयं ददाति स्वापदम्बिकं पञ्चकोपतिरूपशाकरी प्रसिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगर हर श्रीवासरी गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So we don't have a board here today because we're having a person Bhagavad class this morning, because we're having a shortened class. It has to end by 8:15 so everyone can get ready for the festival in the streets today. This is like a Rath Yatra festival day today. So I was going to talk about Srila Prabhupada and Rath Yatra festivals. And it's actually very appropriate today. Today's January 26th. So on this day, Prabhupada delivered a lecture, January 26th, 1977. So this was his final year. He was in India now throughout this time. And he actually gave a lecture this day in the evening in Jagannath Puri. And he spoke to all the pundits, and so-called pundits and scholars and devotees there in Puri. And of course, the point Srila Prabhupada made was Lord Jagannath. What's Jagannath mean? Jagannath means he's the Lord of the universe. So Prabhupada described, he said he's Jagannath, he said he's not Orissanath, he's not Purinath, and he's not Oriyanath, he said he's Jagannath. So Prabhupada made a very strong statement about allowing Westerners into the temple in Jagannath Puri at that time. As I was saying yesterday, Prabhupada was never defensive. He never took a mode like anyone was giving us something, but instead Prabhupada would come the other way, and he would describe his disciples. Now, these were Vaishnavas. They had every right to be in the temple and to take darshan of Lord Jagannath as anyone else did, because Prabhupada always spoke from the platform, transcendental platform, that one's a Vaishnava, one's a devotee, not by birth, but by qualification. And of course, this was one of the actually great disasters in India, because they took this caste system to mean by birth. So by birth, everyone had their qualification, and if you weren't born into a certain family, then of course you were cursed your whole life. If you were not born in Brahmin family, Kshatriya family, then everyone just remained there. There was no question of moving. But Prabhupada, from the very time he brought his Western disciples to India, he was never shy about the fact that they were pure Vaishnavas. As I was saying yesterday, so often Prabhupada, just like when he was here, and he described the devotees here and taking care of the deities, he said, please help these maleches. So I was also telling how Prabhupada called me Malecha so many times when I was serving him. He would address me very fondly as a Malecha, you know. One of the very first things that happened was when I was with Prabhupada was after his lunch prasadam, and this was in Hawaii. And in Hawaii he was staying at one hotel. It was the Ilokai, because there was no room in the temple. So I brought him his prasadam. I had to cook everything in the cooker now at this time. I brought him his lunch, and then I took his lunch back. And then he waited just a few minutes, and the bell was ringing. So I was cleaning his plates, transferring his plates. And the bell rang, so I ran into the room and I offered obeisances. And he just looked at me and he said, "Why haven't you cleaned the table?" Because I had taken the plate back from the table, his plate, but I didn't go back and clean it. For as soon as you take the plate off the table, you have to clean that spot. That's Brahman. So that's what he wanted. He wanted that he was making Brahmins. But again, it wasn't just a ceremony to give you a 2 paisa thread to hang over your shoulder to put your key on so you didn't lose your key. You know, it was to become Brahmin. He wanted one to become qualified. And he considered when he did it, we would be qualified, that we would have that qualification and we would act in Brahminical ways. And that's the way he approached things when he was in India, that his disciples, his Western disciples, and Prabhupada labeled himself. He said, "I'm the guru of the Westerners." He said, "I'm the guru of the Americans." And he was proud of that, that he had taken Mleches, the most fallen, and turned them into Vaishnavas. And he wasn't proud for himself. He was proud for his spiritual master. He was proud for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this was his mission. This was his desire, that everyone chant Hare Krishna. So anyway, today is that opportunity to show everyone what it means to be Vaishnava, to chant the holy names of the Lord, and in this way to attract. I was telling devotee yesterday, when on Harinam Sankirtan, well, one of your very early devotees here, Madhavisa Prabhu, he had, back in 1968, of course at that time, everyone was going out. That's what we would do all day. You would go out on Harinam from breakfast until in the evening. Chanting in the streets was there. And although there were just hundreds and then gradually a few thousand devotees in the streets, they thought there were millions of us because we were everywhere. Devotees were everywhere. And you would pop up on television shows and you would be in the movies all the time because, you know, the devotees, they were part of the fabric of society in the West, especially in America and Europe. So it appeared that wherever you went, you would see devotees. So there must be so many of them, but there were not a lot. But our presence was very loud. Our presence was there everywhere. So one day, Madhavisa, he asked Prabhupada, "How can we attract more people when we're out on Harinam and we're chanting? How do we attract, you know, the people in the street to the holy name?" And Prabhupada gave a very beautiful answer, and it was very Krishna conscious, which Prabhupada was. It was Krishna conscious, and that was Prabhupada's response. He said, "We're not trying to attract people in the streets." He said, "We're trying to attract Krishna." He said, "When we chant, when we do anything, we're trying to please Krishna. Our goal is to satisfy Krishna. It's always to satisfy Krishna." And that analogy, it's such a simple analogy, but how often do we actually think of the meaning of that analogy of watering all the different leaves? Prabhupada would always say, you don't try to water the leaves of the tree. You water the root. And by watering the root, everything, the whole tree, of course, becomes watered. Everything is satisfied. The leaves get their nourishment. Everything is nourished. So that's what it means when we chant, when we do anything. But especially we're chanting the holy name, we're calling out to Krishna. So that has to be the idea behind, is trying to please Krishna. We're chanting for Krishna's pleasure. And then if we do that, he said, automatically others, they'll become satisfied, because Krishna is in everyone's heart. So if someone has any desire for Krishna at all, they'll become attracted by that chanting, because Krishna is there. Krishna is in the heart. So it's having that understanding, the realization, and the faith in the holy name. And that's what Srila Prabhupada had, was when he came to the West, when he went to New York, he said he had two things he described on the Jaladuta. There's two things where, what were those two things he brought with him, besides his trunks of books? Does anyone know? Prabhupada had two things. He had complete faith in the holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra, and in the order of his spiritual master. That's all one has to have. That's why it said Krishna consciousness is so easy. It's very simple. So you require is faith, lots and lots of faith, that we have to cultivate that faith. But it's faith in just those two things, the Hare Krishna mantra and the order of the spiritual master. Giriraj Maharaj, he told a story. He had spoken with Krishnadas Babaji. And Krishnadas Babaji was a Bhajananandi. He was a godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. And he was the first godbrother of Prabhupada that I met. And that was in Vrindavan in 1972 during Kartik. And there's actually a picture, I think I've seen it here somewhere as well. One of the rooms here, there's a picture with Prabhupada sitting, just leaning against the wall in his rooms in Vrindavan, right? And he's talking to two people. So those two people there are Gaurachand Goswami. He was the caste Goswami in Radha Damodar temple there. So he was in the family line. So he was the Goswami in charge of the temple at Radha Damodar. And the other person in the picture with Srila Prabhupada is Krishnadas Babaji. So he was a very wonderful devotee. He died some years ago. And Prabhupada, they loved each other very, very much. He wasn't a preacher. He was a Bhajananandi, and he chanted all the time, always chanted Hare Krishna. And when they met there in Vrindavan, I was there in the room, and of course they embraced, and immediately they just started laughing and laughing. Both of them were laughing. They were just so happy to see each other. And of course they spoke in Bengali, so I'm not sure of the conversation, but they spoke some in Bengali. But mostly this Krishnadas Babaji, he would just chant Hare Krishna. And especially when he saw Prabhupada's disciples, the only thing he would do when he saw you was go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, all the time. Whenever he wouldn't speak anything, he would just Hare Krishna and smile. And immediately you would just become filled with happiness seeing him chant Hare Krishna. But he told a story. And he was there when Prabhupada was given sannyas initiation. And of course, initiation ceremony was there, the fire yoga was there, and Prabhupada was sitting there as godbrother was giving his sannyas, godbrother was giving, doing this, performing the ceremony, and speaking was there, so many things. But he said during the ceremony, he said that Prabhupada was sitting there and he was looking. Krishnadas Babaji, he didn't sitting in, but he was off on the side. And he was just chanting, which that's all he did. He would just chant Hare Krishna mantra all the time. And as the ceremony was going on, he said that Prabhupada looked at him and Prabhupada saw him chanting. And Prabhupada nodded very appreciatively and said, just chant Hare Krishna, like that. So Krishnadas said when he saw that, in Prabhupada's reaction, he said from that very moment, he could understand that Prabhupada was going to be the person who was going to spread the Hare Krishna mantra all over the world because of his complete faith in the Hare Krishna mantra. Because Krishnadas knew he wasn't going to do it. He was in Vrindavan. He wasn't going anywhere. But he could see that Prabhupada had such great faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna that he would be the person that would go all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. So that was from that time, way back then, at that time, he saw that in our Srila Prabhupada. So this is what Prabhupada has done. And of course, today, these are very wonderful to be able to take part in these kind of festivals where there's thousands of people. This was Prabhupada's desire to have everyone hear Hare Krishna mantra. So it was in 1973, actually it was a very famous Rath Yatra festival. But leading up to it, Prabhupada, he had been in Mayapur, and this was happening at these times, once or twice a year. And Prabhupada would come ill. And at this time he had a very severe illness, and now he was in Calcutta. And at that time he got a letter and telegram from Mudit Visa, And he also received one from Shyamasundar. So Madhavisa, of course, was here in Australia. And Shyamasundar, he was in England, where they had just acquired Bhaktivedanta Manor, which was called, I forget what it was called. Anyway, by George Harrison, it just bought this big manor house outside of London, 15 miles outside of London. So they had just gotten this place. And a few months before, so Shyamasundar was requesting Srila Prabhupada to come to England for Rath Yatra festival. He said they were putting on big Rath Yatra festival with three carts, and said, please come. And Madhavisa, he had sent a letter and telegram to Prabhupada saying, please come to Australia, because it'll be a very nice place to come, and you can relax and you can recover from the poor health that he had, from his illness. So sometimes Prabhupada would do these things. His secretary would read him the mail. So then when he read the mail, Prabhupada said, he said, call everyone. Everyone meant whoever was around. When Prabhupada was in a temple, any temple, there would be many, usually sannyasis would be around, a few GBC temple presidents. So he said, call everyone. So about 10 devotees, they come in the room. So Prabhupada says, I'm given an invitation to go to Australia and rest and recuperate. He said, or I can go to London and attend Rath Yatra festival. So he said, so you speak amongst yourselves and tell me what you decide. He said, and then after lunch, he said, you can tell me. So they would become very excited, and Prabhupada had given them this responsibility to do. So then everyone left. So then Prabhupada looks at me and says, it's time for massage. Prabhupada was something he would ask things. He wouldn't say, give me massage now. Prabhupada had a very wonderful demeanor, a very wonderful style. It just always allured you, because he would ask you things. Like he would say, can you give me massage now? And I would become so confused, because I was just sitting all day, sitting outside his room, just waiting to serve him. And yet he wouldn't come in and say, okay, give me a massage. He would ask me, can you give me massage now? And I'd just say, yes. Sometimes I'd say, Prabhupada, I'm sitting here all day long waiting to do something to serve you. I said, so yes. But it was just very cultured. Prabhupada was so cultured and so wonderful. And he never took it for granted that devotional service, it's voluntary. So it's always ultimately a request. There's no orders. You can't. Love doesn't come from orders. Love comes from desire to serve. It's voluntary. So Prabhupada always lets you know. He would always give you these reminders what our purpose was, what service meant. You know, it meant love. So this was in Calcutta, Albert Road. The temple is still there, same temple. And there was a nice marble veranda. So we'd just put the straw mat out on the veranda, and the sun would come in. Prabhupada always would take morning sun, and he said, it gives you energy, the morning sun. So he would put his back to the sun. So now I'm massaging, rubbing his head with sandalwood oil, and then mustard oil on his back. So now I'm massaging him, and he said, so Srutta Kirti. He said, what is your opinion? He said, what do you think? He said, should I go to London? He said, to Rath Yatra? Or should I go rest in Australia? So I've been with Prabhupada for a year now, so I already knew what Prabhupada was going to do. Not that I knew, but I knew. And I also didn't answer his question. I said, well, Prabhupada, I said, if you go to London, I said, there'll be thousands of people there in the streets that you'll be able to preach to. I said, so they said, I think you're going to London. And Prabhupada said, very good. This was Prabhupada. Wait until the last breath. This is our business. This was Prabhupada's mood. We preach, work now, samadhi later, as we say in our society. This was Prabhupada's mood. And I knew already what Prabhupada was going to do, because he could not pass up an opportunity to preach a wonderful opportunity like this. In England, in London, Rath Yatra Festival, this was a big thing. This was wonderful. So Prabhupada had his lunch, then he took his nap, then he rang the bell and he said, so call them. Now these were sannyasis, they were GBCs, the temple presidents. So they all come in, so they all sit down. So Prabhupada looks, said, so, he said, what have you decided? So what did they decide? Go to Australia. They all decided, go to Australia and rest. And Prabhupada just shook his head like, haven't you learned anything from what I've been saying every day? Every day. But, of course, theirs came from sentiment for Prabhupada's health. But at the same time, Prabhupada wanted him to understand the mood, his mood. And he wanted him to have the same mood. He wants us to have the same mood. Preach Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada. We talk of the branch, this branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Our ISKCON branch, it comes through Srila Prabhupada. And its very strength, it comes from preaching. It's dependent on preaching, because this was Prabhupada's mood. This is his mission. So he just shook his head and said, no. He said, we're going to London. He said, so it was very soon after we arrived in London and went to the manor. And Prabhupada had been ill. He actually had a few things. It seemed like he had very high fever. He had dysentery. He had severe stomach cramps were going on. And we didn't know how he was going to even make it from Calcutta to London. But of course, we took the flight, we arrived there, and they had beautiful Rath Yatra carts, three big wooden carts. So Prabhupada's Vyasa-san was on Subhadra's, at the base of Subhadra Devi's cart. So that day we arrived, and it was a beautiful day in England, which Prabhupada said, when the sun shines, I like the book by Ranchor, when the sun shines in England, he said, is the best place in the world. It's very beautiful when the sun shines in England. You just have to get that one day of the year when it's shining. My wife killed me. Sometimes there's many nice days in England, but there's many days are very cloudy and rainy and dreary. And there's long winters there. But anyway, this was a very beautiful day in England. So the carts looked magnificent, and they were there at the park, Hyde Park, Regent Park, one of the big, big famous parks. And they would go down the main road and end up at Trafalgar Square, which is like the big famous place. If you go to England, you go to London as a tourist, you go to Trafalgar Square, and everything's right in that area. So that's where the carts would stop. And it was a few kilometers, maybe 3-4 kilometers. So it was quite a walk to go down there. And when the carts were set up, and this was one of the early Rath Yatras. And just like here in Australia, now I don't know at this festival today, Australia Day Festival, I think the Australians are very, very organized how they do things. They have how they want you to do everything. I know coming into Australia is the most difficult place to come into, Even you have to even give them your japa beads, to see any wood. You're supposed to submit any kind of wood even coming in, so... I've never been to a place that was so careful, so strict. When we came in here with Prabhupada, the first time we brought mangoes from Bombay. We all know that, right? And they took them. You know, they took the mangoes away. And Prabhupada, he was so upset. He said, nice, fresh, wonderful mangoes. He said, they confiscate. He said, but 100-year-old dried meat, he said, that you can bring into the country. He said, but nice fresh mangoes, they confiscate. He gets so upset. You see the absurdity of society, you know. But this is what they do, you know. You have to. When I came, they let me through. They said, but let the dogs smell your bag. You know, walk by. They said, walk by the girl with the dog. And okay, I know what's going on. It's, you know, this sniffer dog, you know, to see if you have anything illegal substances. And dogs have such a great sense of smell, right? These particular dogs. So that was all they made me do. So I brought so many things in. My japa beads, that's what I brought in. But so in England it was the same. They had their idea, we were having a parade, Rath Yatra parade, and they, you know, you have to get your permits, and now it's even more strict, everything. But then it was also the same, you had to have your permits, and the police monitor everything, and the traffic, flow of traffic, closing off the streets and opening the streets. So they're very, more so I see in like the British style and the Australian styles like that. And Hong Kong was also Hong Kong and China was very funny. We went out on Harinam in Hong Kong, and they provided a police force, like 20 police force complete with motorcycles for the devotees' protection. At least that's what they say it's for, the devotees. But just so everything was organized, and they would have the motorcycle stop in front of the you know, the street for the traffic and everything. And it was just, I was amazed at how it went on. And then we went to mainland China, and my god brother Krishna Baladev, he said, yeah, he said in Hong Kong, he said they're there to protect you, he said, to take care of the devotees. He said, but when you go in mainland China, he said, they're there to watch you. But they let us have Harinam. We went into China. We had Harinam there. So it was interesting. Anyway, here in London, Prabhupada was there. Morning, it was like noontime, and Prabhupada arrived, and the police, the bobbies, they were there. This was my first trip to England, so it was, for me, it's always interesting when you go somewhere new. And there were hundreds of devotees from all over Europe. They had come from France and Germany, Spain, devotees. So many devotees were there. And immediately the kirtan started, and Prabhupada, he stood there amongst the devotees. This video is there. Many of you probably have seen it. If you haven't, it's a very wonderful video to watch. And of course, right away, the devotee said to Prabhupada, your Vyasa-san is here. You can sit in the Vyasa-san. And Prabhupada just looked and just declined. And as Hansa Dutta was there very often, he was playing mridanga and leading kirtan, and Prabhupada raised his hands. And he would induce the devotees to dance. Sometimes devotees, they would say Prabhupada was puppet. Prabhupada, you're just like our puppet master. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but I want you to go like this. And he said, you're going like this. So you know, puppet, if you've seen a puppeteer, they have that little cross with the, you know, the strings on it. So Prabhupada was making such subtle move. It's actually very interesting, because if you look, there's no difference. You go this way, you go this way. But one's the opposite way of the other. So that's what Prabhupada was saying. I want you to go like this, he said, and you're going like this. So this is our business, is to know how to be the puppet in the hands of the spiritual master. So when Prabhupada would do that, he was just like a puppet man. He would raise, and when he would raise, everybody would jump, you know. He would bring you right off the ground by raising his hands and smiling. So then the parade started, and Prabhupada just walked with the devotees. And you could, and you look in the video, and you can see it was like a mob scene. We were not like a parade. Like, I don't know here what they make you do, but in Washington, D.C., they're part of July 4th parade, which is their big Independence Day in the USA from British rule. And the devotees are one of the parts of the parade, a certain number. And they all have to be in line, you know, like whatever, five across, and everyone's in line, everything's organized, the flags are organized. So it's, they expect it to be part of their parade. So here is probably a similar kind of thing, but this was not what was going on in London on that day. You know, devotees are just all over the place and dancing this way and that way. And Prabhupada was just encouraging everyone and walking. And so Prabhupada just walked along with the Rath Yatra carts in front of Subhadra's cart. He was just walking. And the devotees with Prabhupada there were crazy. They were just in ecstasy all the time. So at one point early on, there was one of the policemen, a British policeman, and he saw that I was kind of like keeping people away from Prabhupada, trying to make sure people didn't bump into him and things. So he saw that connection, and he taps me on the shoulder and he said, "You have to tell your leader to go sit in his chair because he's creating a lot of chaos." Because they couldn't deal with it. It wasn't a parade. It was just like a mob scene, you know, going down the street. It was like an organized mob. And I just said, you know, I can't say anything to him, you know, and I just kind of tried to blow him off. So then a few more minutes go by, and we're going down, and these police escorts are there, and, you know, there's traffic. This is a busy, busy place on a Saturday afternoon. It's like the heart of London was right here. And he comes up to me again, and he said, "You have to tell him to sit, you know." He said, "Because he's really making a lot of problems." And he said, "And if you don't tell him," he said, "we're going to have to stop the parade." And I thought, oh my God, you know, they're going to stop the parade, you know. So Prabhupada, he's jumping up and down and he's dancing. And this is who was coming to Australia because he wasn't well. Now he's dancing in the street. So it was always difficult to figure Prabhupada out. So he's jumping up and down and he's got everyone. Prabhupada's creating this complete crazy scene, you know, before the deities in the streets, and so many, everyone's watching. So finally I thought, I have to do something. So Prabhupada was right in front of me, and he's just dancing and walking, and parade's moving. And I tapped him on the shoulder from behind him, and he had his arms raised. So when I tapped him, he turned around and he saw me. And then he just kept turning and he did a 360 like he was dancing. So he just went and he just spun around. He saw it was me tapping him on the shoulder, like, who cares, you know? So he just spun around in a dance-like form and came back around. And then I looked at the police and I said, "If you want," I said, "you can talk to him." I said, "because he's not going to listen to me." So then the police was like, he just became frustrated and realized he wasn't, you know, he had no power to do anything. And Prabhupada chanted and danced and walked the entire festival. So we who knew what had gone on in India, we were like, of course, always surprised at Prabhupada's transcendental nature. But he was so happy. And this was England, huh? This was, you know, Prabhupada was raised. You look at the whole history of Srila Prabhupada's life, he was raised under, you know, sovereignty of British rule when he grew up in England, or when he grew up in India. And when he met his spiritual master, what did he say to him? When his spiritual master said, "Preach this to the West," he said, "Who's going to listen to us? We're under British rule. What can we do?" And then Prabhupada very proudly saying, "My spiritual master, he defeated my argument." Because Prabhupada was saying, we can't preach, as Indians, we can't preach in the West. Who will listen to us? But he was very happy, and he said, "My spiritual master, he defeated my argument." So see, this is disciple. He's very happy to be defeated by his spiritual master. So now, it was 1973, so this was 40 years 50 years now from when his spiritual master told him to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. So 50 years later, Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, he appears there in England and he's giving his darshan to everyone. So Prabhupada, he was just in ecstasy being there. Prabhupada had conquered England. And in the papers the next day, in England, so many tabloid newspapers, it's a very big thing, newspapers in England. Every morning, even now, even in this computer age, you go into the high streets in England and, you know, every 20 feet there's another stand and it's nicely covered in plexiglass because it's always raining. And all the newspapers are there. You have like 20 different newspapers, tabloids to pick from, you know, with all their headlines and everything. They're very serious about their newspapers. So in the newspaper, one of the big newspapers, it said, you know, the Rathyatra cart, Hare Krishna Rathyatra cart, it towers over Lord Nelson's statue. This was, so they showed that to Prabhupada. He was very happy, you know, because he had conquered over England with Hare Krishna. And now, of course, you know, Bhaktivedanta Manor, they have 500,000 people go there on Janmashtami, take darshan of Radha Gokulananda, who Prabhupada brought there back in 1973 and installed right at that, during that same time. So all these things, they all just come together. They all make so much sense how everything happens. Srila Prabhupada, how he was spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. Such an amazing personality. We'll never understand until we become Krishna conscious and self-realized. Then we'll have a little understanding of who Prabhupada is, you know, what Prabhupada's mission was. But it was just the most wonderful day. So today you can meditate on that a little bit as you're dancing through the streets trying to distribute Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Jagannath's mercy to everyone as this festival goes on. So we have a few minutes left on this tight schedule this morning. Any questions or comments? Also, there's class this evening. We'll have Prabhupada Katha class this evening after Arati. If anyone has some time, please come. Yes? Someone, that was one of those questions I don't know the answer to. Why his Vyasasana is on Subhadra's cart. I don't know why it wasn't on the front cart, you know, Jagannath's cart or on the last cart, but it was at Subhadra's cart. But must be some reason. But I don't know the answer to that, sorry to say. But it certainly shows that she's not less significant. She's being protected by her brothers. Any other? Yes?
I had a couple of times chance to see a place, Marble Arch, it's called. Marble Arch.
Marble Arch, yes. Yes.
And I was thinking, 2 months back I was in Jagannath Puri, and I saw a very big statue of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 70 BC. And I thought, definitely, anybody will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will start dancing. Yeah. So I think that might be the answer, why he was dancing so nicely, to inspire us.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Always. He's traveled all around the world just to inspire his disciples. He said that was his business. I describe, few of you may know, you know, you have these things they call tots, you know, the little wooden things. When we were children, they were, even when I was a child, they were already passe, but, you know, you put the string around it or you just spun it and it would spin for a minute, you know, and then wobble and then fall, you know. So I always thought Prabhupada was like that, you know, like he had all these temples all around the world, and all these temples, that's what he would do. He would go to a temple and get it spinning, and then he would go to the next temple and the next, and then he would have to get back to the first one before it fell over, you know. So that was his business, was inspiration. He would open up temples, then he had to quickly go around and visit all his disciples so that they didn't wobble and fall over. And he was very good at that. So yeah, it was definitely to inspire. He wanted it to be the best Ratha Yatra it could be. So he knew his presence would do it. Prabhupada, in his humility, he never described things in a certain way, but he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was responsible for. He knew what his duty was. He would sometimes say to me, it was always nighttime at massage, and he would speak, and then sometimes he would speak about his father, and then he would say, perhaps my father knew. And that's all he would say, was perhaps my father knew. And then that would be the end of the conversation. But it meant, perhaps my father knew that I was the person, that Srimati Radharani, like his father always prayed, make him a faithful servant of Srimati Radharani. So he would indicate that his father, perhaps, and that's the only time Prabhupada used these words, perhaps, maybe, was in reference to himself being the person who would spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. He would say, perhaps my father knew. So that was Prabhupada's humility. But Prabhupada knew also who he was and what he was doing. He was self-realized. Of course he knew. But such humility was there that he just presented himself as a loyal servant of his spiritual master. That was his mood. And this is the teaching. So even one becomes big, big devotee, he never considers himself, because he understands Krishna's big, big. We're all just little, little. Servant of the servant of the servant. So that's self-realization. But if I don't stop here, I'm going to get in big, big trouble from this big, big devotee here who's giving instructions this morning. So this evening we can continue. We'll continue here this evening, and tomorrow morning, I'm here for the next few days, so continue with speaking about the person, Bhagavad Sri Prabhupada. So everyone have a wonderful day today. Don't forget your sunscreen. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.